Just a quick reminder, Melanie wanted me to remind you of the new Love Speaks ministry that she promoted last week and introduced. The items of the month are toothpaste and toothbrushes. And the box and the bag and the basket are in the back table back there. So if you want to get involved in that and donate to that, it'll be a blessing. If you weren't here for it, it's for the adults in our community for Christmas, so we can reach the adults as well. As you know, she said before, and I thought about it too, there's so many children that ministries and things like that for the children that are reached, and that's a blessing. I mean, our children were blessed with Christmas many years through different things like that, but sometimes the adults get left out, and so we want to do that for the adults this year. And if you'll be a part of that, they're back there. The baskets for the toothbrushes and toothpaste, and then the other box is for donations like gift cards, and if you want to put money in there, whatever, we'll go buy the things for you instead if you can't get out. That is a blessing, and we want to be a blessing, right? So let's get involved in that, if you will, with us. Get my clicker, turn the clicker on. Galatians 5 is where we've been for, I don't know, a couple years now. No, not that long. But that's where we've been. That's where we'll find the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5. And verse 16 is where Paul starts. But I want to go right to the fruit of the Spirit, because we've already touched on the works of the flesh. And you have those with you. Hopefully you're keeping your notes with you. And periodically look at them, because the definitions are there. And we got to compare our lives. We got to look at our lives. Are we doing this stuff? And then get right with God with those. And so that's very important. Because if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're walking in what? You're walking after the what? The flesh, right? And that's not what God wants for our lives. So verse 23 of chapter 5. That's where it starts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And then verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, just a quick refresher. Once again, it says crucified. We've been crucified. If you're saved today, we've been crucified. Our fleshly desires and things, old has passed away, right? So we're crucified. Crucified, we're dead then, right? We've been crucified with Christ. But now we live in Christ, and Christ lives through us. And so that's where we're at in these fruits of the Spirit. That's a benefit. One of the great benefits of the Holy Spirit in us is these fruits that can come out of us to others. And so it's a blessing. There's many other benefits to the Holy Spirit, isn't there? We can name a whole bunch of them. We can spend all day naming benefits of the Holy Spirit. How He communicates to God for us as we pray. Man, that's powerful right there. But there's so many different ones. We've already done love, joy, and peace, right? That was the first three. And we broke them up in threes. Then we did long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Then we did faith. Last week was faith. So what comes after faith? Meekness, right? And you know what? And I started looking. I know I've told you before, I do some resource checking and things through the week and to prepare. And you got to prepare your mind, especially if you're teaching, if you're giving God's word. You should be ready and prepared for that. And so I did that again this week. And, you know, as I go through and listen to different people and different versions and things like that, they get them out of order. And it kind of bothers me, because I know that by studying, God put them in this order for a reason. And translators of the King James was so intrigued in that. When I first got saved, my pastor took us through why the King James is so important. And the translators, what they had to go through to translate the Word of God for us. And God used those men in a special way. And they were taking them out of order. Then they would change the words and make them different. A lot of people use meekness as weakness. And it's not weakness. It's meekness. And we'll see that today. But I wanted to share one thing before we go. Last week when we went through faith, I failed to share something that I thought was kind of important. when I was studying faith last week, and that's this. There is a difference. I asked, is there a difference between faith and faithfulness? And there is. There's a difference between faith and faithfulness. So faith is belief, assurance of God's word, and all that He's done, all that He's done for us. And then faithfulness is living in accord with that truth. In other words, faith leads to faithfulness. So you can't change that word to faithfulness in the scripture, the fruits of the Spirit, because it's not. You have to have faith before you have faithfulness. And I thought that was so important there to see that. So the translations over the years have really changed a lot. And I want you to see that as well. All right, so God offers the fruit of the Spirit, meekness. The fruit of the Spirit, meekness. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Let's do that and calm my heart a little bit too. Heavenly Father, we just come and thank you again for another Sunday. A Sunday that we get to celebrate mothers. You've set aside this day. You've allowed this day to be for mothers and for you as well. Because you have granted us with great mothers and we're thankful for each and every one of them. And Father, may you bless them this day and this year coming, Father. May it be a special day for them. But Father, as we come to your word, Father, as we study your word, this is class. This is Sunday school hour, a time to get into your word and learn. I pray that our hearts be ready to learn. May we set all things aside. May we get ready for something special in our hearts today that you have for us through this study of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray for the ones that are online watching because they can't be here. Lord, they haven't found a church that they're comfortable with. Father, I pray for them that they'll get something out of this message and that it'll draw them to this church that we can minister to them. We're thankful for our pastor that ministers to us the truth of your word, nothing but the truth. We're thankful for that. May you just bless this hour, this time that we have, in Jesus' name, amen. So if we're going to be honest today, which we should be in church, of course, right? We would probably agree that meekness is not one of the fruits often talked about. You don't talk about meekness. You don't hear people out in the world or in other places that you go to or fellowships, you know, say talk about meekness. You don't get into talking about meekness, but or preached on even a lot of times. In fact, it's seldom noticed when submitted to, but it is also appreciated to the receiver. The receiver that receives the meekness definitely recognizes and appreciates it. Meekness is a fruit from the Holy Spirit that is applied when someone is trying to assist a person who is actually engaged in the work of the flesh. As I tried throughout the week to prepare for this lesson on meekness, I found myself procrastinating because I just couldn't get myself to understand what meekness was. And that's just being transparent as a teacher. And pastor is transparent, and pastors should be transparent as well. And I remember when I first started teaching in that class on Friday night, after the class, a guy that's been in the ministry before came to me personally, away from everybody else, and said, you know, as a teacher, you shouldn't be so transparent. They don't need to know all that about you. I don't believe that. I believe you should be transparent. And as I was studying this meekness, maybe it's because I haven't been meek to others. I haven't showed meekness to others. I don't know, but God just was working on me, and I couldn't prepare a lesson. And so that's a good thing, by the way. When you're being convicted and you're being poked at by the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. That means you're growing. You're learning and are submitting. And so as I prepared this, it was really getting to me, working on this. Because I'm going to teach it to you, then I must know what it means to my own life as well. I must have meekness if I'm going to teach it, right, and apply it to my life as well. And a lot of times as we're teaching and preaching, it does convict us, and we try to get right with the Lord too. And I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen pastor up here bowing at the altar as well because he needed it just as like we needed it. That's why he's bowing. He's not going to his knees because he wants you to follow him. He's doing it because he had that conviction as well. And so that's important. I began to ask God to show me through the inner man. That's the Holy Spirit, right? We learned that, the inner man. Show me meekness, Lord. It surely is difficult characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit to yield to, for sure. How many agree? Well, I don't know yet. What is meekness, right? But as I studied and looked at resources, I found that as the King James translators, and I just talked about this, were translating from Greek to New Testament, the English language, they could not agree on a word that would adequately define the word praotes. I'm probably not saying that right because I'm not Greek, but P-R-A-O-T-E-S, that's the Greek word, and they're trying to translate that to English. And they were having a hard time with it. Different things they were trying to come up with it. And like I said, we went through a study on the translators of the King James. One thing that was very clear to me is they took it very seriously, and for anything to be translated, they all had to come to an agreement. And they had to, you know, make that known to each other. That's after they were bathed in prayer and scrubbed themselves down. Did you know they did that before they started translating? When they came together to translate, they would scrub themselves down, bathe themselves in prayer, and then come and start translating God's word. How wonderful, how perfectly of a picture is that? But as they did that, they came up with something. So the closest word they came up with was weakness, which we know is not right, but that was far from capturing the essence of the Greek word. A great illustration to the meaning of the word would be in a baseball, in baseball, the batter up to ready to hit the ball. You know what he does? Anybody watch baseball? Wow, not too many people, probably after the last couple of months, right? But even in schools or just backyard baseball, whatever, you'll see them spit on their hands. That's kind of gross, but they spit on their hands, rub it together, and then grab the bat. What's that doing? That's causing less friction, reducing the friction when they hit the ball. Why do they do that? To get a better grip on the bat. The word literally means to add lubricant in order to reduce friction. So what does this have to do with our Christian character? What's it got to do with our Christian character? Well, let's see the definition. The definition of meekness is the ability for God's people, that's you and I if we're saved, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, that's you and I, to negotiate among others, that's the outside world or even in the house, in God's house, God's family, without causing friction. Do you know God's family can cause friction toward each other? Amen. We sure can. I have illustrations for that, but I'll keep them. That's not being all transparent. But yeah, there is friction in the family of God. Praise the Lord, I haven't seen it here. I haven't even seen people that don't want to talk to you here. Everybody wants to be friendly and come and, you know, love on you. I mean, yesterday was just amazing. I was amazed, Pastor. Miss Jen, I was amazed at everything that just went so smoothly and beautifully. And somebody accused me of flirting with the old ladies, but that's okay. You need that. Amen. My wife did, by the way. That's okay. So when God's people respond to each other and to a lost world in the spirit of meekness, it is sure to produce a level of respect and curiosity. After submitting to the Holy Spirit and asking God to help you, which we should do, we should ask God, remember last week, we should ask God for everything in our lives, to help you with any given fruit, it would be a good idea to engage yourself with another brother or sister in Christ that is yielding to with ease to that particular fruit. You understand what I'm saying? There was a lot of times in my baby steps, even now, that I'll go to an elder Christian that's been saved 77 years, like Brother Gordon, and I would try to get counsel from him. I would ask him questions about maybe meekness. How do you show meekness? You know, how can I develop that? Maybe I gave you a testimony a few weeks ago about Mr. D, the bus driver guy, and he was my mentor. I mean, I would go to him for everything. How do you stay so calm in these circumstances, in these situations? And we should do that. We should find a brother or sister in Christ and get with them. That's what Bible study's for. That's why you have ladies' Bible study. That's why you have men's prayer group, to get together as brothers and brother with brother and sister with sister, to bond and to grab each other's thoughts and what the Holy Spirit's doing in their life and how they respond. Because, you know, there's a lot of fruits in my life, or there's a lot of things in my life that I don't get right, and I could use some help from somebody else. And so that's just, maybe that could be preached on, I don't know. But that's really important, to ask God to bring those into your life. And you'll know when they are the ones, right ones. There are some false ones out there. I was a false one. I was a churchgoer that was not saved and acting like I was saved. And I had everybody tricked but my wife, my family, because I went home to them. And so you got to watch for them as well. As a Christian, I'm finding out day after day that we are truly part of a gigantic family. Just a great godly family, aren't we? It's not just Independent Baptist Church, is it? I went to church. I mean, I went to work this week. I felt like church. I went to work this week. Would you believe every day I had customers coming into the mix room where I mix the paint at, talking about God and what God's doing in their life, and saying that they saw me teaching in Sunday school. They grabbed a hold of the video, the live, the after stream, whatever you call it. What's that called, Jen? iStream? And so, but different things like that. And they're coming and talking about God, and I'm like, "You're saved?" And they're like, "Yeah, I got Jesus in my heart." And they're Spanish guys, and they're all excited. Then I had a guy that wanted counsel. He's getting a divorce with his wife, and he knows about Jesus, and he wants to be in church, and he don't speak good English. And I said, "I know a church in Bradenton that has a great pastor that's a Spanish pastor. You can get with him." I gave him his number, and they're getting in contact with each other. And he was crying. He was like, I need God to fix my marriage. And I said, "He can, because he fixed mine." But God does that. He brings people in your lives like that. And he shows you that I love you and I need to use you. And you're going to be part of that. That's meekness. That's part of meekness right there. I was ministering to others in meekness. And so he gives that to us. He gives opportunities like that all the time. We just got to be ready, don't we? Sometimes we get in our own little world and our own little problems, and this pandemic and the virus and the vaccines and this and that and everything else, and it all gets us distracted from the Word of God and what God's plan is for us to do here on earth. And that's to live an abundant Christian life, not a redundant Christian life, an abundant Christian life, and win the lost to Christ. And there's a lot of lost that are scared right now and need hope, and we have the hope in us. Hope of glory, right? And so how many of you realize that people don't naturally get along? We don't naturally get along, do we? We're all come from different backgrounds, and we can come and get along because of Christ. But other than outside of Christ, we'd have a hard time getting along with things. You know, think about yesterday. Me and Jeremiah did the drinks, right? We could have fought for an hour over who's going to do the lemonade and who's going to do the water. And I finally said, "Jeremiah, you just do the lemonade. I'll do the water." And he had the hot lemonade, so I was all right. I had the cold water. But anyway, so we don't naturally get along. Uh-oh. Okay, sorry. That was me? I'll take the blame. But we don't naturally get along because there are three things that are working against us, against the relationships of people. Let me see if I put that up there. Yes, I did. Three things that work against us. Here they are. You can write them down. I don't think I'll put them in your notes there, your handout. But first, it's their weakness, their weaknesses. Then it's our own weakness. And most of all, it's Satan. Satan, who seeks to get you and I to improperly react to each other's weaknesses. You know, that's Satan's job. That's what he wants to do. You've already been saved. He can't get that from you anymore. You're sealed until the day of redemption, until Jesus comes and gets us. We're saved. But guess what? He can ruin your Christian life. He can get you to walk away from Christ. He can get you to do things that Christ don't want you to do. And that's Satan's job, to get us to fight with each other. Let's fight over how the chairs are set up. Let's fight over different things. Let's fight about, you know, he can do that. And that's Satan. That's what Satan will do. But it's first their weakness, then our weakness. When we get weak like that, then Satan can come in and take control of our lives. So, therefore, we have very little chance on our own to naturally get along. If you're going to try to get along on your own, you're going to fail. That's a bad word to say, but it's true. We're going to fail. We as believers understand that there has to be a spiritual man or woman to add lubricant to reduce friction. To reduce friction. It takes a spiritual man or woman to reduce friction. Now, just imagine this, and it just came to me. It's not even in my notes, so it must be what pastors always say. It must be free, right? But think about this. Think about the separation of God. What if God's hand wasn't on our country, on our world, on us today? Think about that. The separation of lost ones as they face the judgment and they get cast off to hell. I thought about just that just now. Without God's hand upon us, we would never be able to get along because there's always Christians around us that we don't even know. Angels unaware, things like that. It's always around us because God has his hand on us still. We still have the Holy Spirit with us. Well, when the Holy Spirit goes, we're going, aren't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. So in the beginning days of our family coming to Christ, Melanie and I, my wife Melanie, that was that spiritual woman that applied the lubricant to reduce the friction in our home. She got saved before I did. I was playing saved, if that's a word. I was playing saved. I was acting like I was saved, destroying my family in the home. So she was the lubricant, the Christian woman in the home, the Christ-like, that was trying to help all of us get along in the home. And I was destroying it. And I remember many times she would tell me, we're having Bible study with the kids tonight. And we did that every night. I hated it. To be honest with you, I hated it because I wasn't saved. I didn't understand the word. This word is for saved people, isn't it? It's a love letter to us. And so when you're lost trying to read the word, you don't understand it. You don't understand what it's trying to do. So, and that's what was happening in our family. But she held us together. She had that lubricant to reduce the friction. I remember her saying, we're going to church on Sunday night. I said, you only need church on Sunday morning. And then she said, Wednesday night. I was like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? And I would stay home. She'd take the kids, 7 kids, by the way. And so I felt bad after I got saved. She had to do that for so many months. But anyway, so she was that lubricant. Who's the lubricant in your family? Are you both saved? Are you both getting along? Who's the lubricant in your workplace? In your atmosphere where you're at? Maybe you're out shopping. Who could be the lubricant in that grocery store? There's different avenues for that. A good, godly leader, manager, owner will be the one who applies the lubricant to their employees so that the company can run smooth and grow. I want to be the lubricant as a manager of my department to make that run smoothly. And boy, it's a job. I have 2 men that are far from Christ, and they mock me and my Christian walk and things like that. Sometimes they'll come and ask questions, but most of the times it's mockery or you know, a lot of cursing and things, and I don't allow it. And I try to stop them. And they used to have respect. A lot of them do have respect, but it's just. And I work in body shops, and body shops are the worst. You think mechanics are bad? Body shops are really bad. But I do have a lot, like I said, a lot of Christian believers in the workplace, in the customer realm. But so we have to be that friction, the lubricant in the workplace as well. So a Christian's biblical role when faced with the weakness of a fellow believer. This is very important because some of us don't get it. Some of us, and me included, I'll see a weakness in another brother and I'll walk away. I'll say, I'll pray for you, but I'll walk away and not try to help him. You know, it's easy to say, I'll pray for you. Me and Dave were talking about that yesterday after we got done working about, you know, Christians saying, I'll pray for you, and walk away and never pray for them. And I'm trying to learn now to, if I have time, if the opportunity is there, pray for them right there. Instead of saying, I'll pray for you later, just pray for them right there. But that's important that if we're going to tell somebody we're going to pray for them, we should be praying for them. And so, and this is another thing. If somebody's struggling in a certain area, we should be mentoring to them. We should be ministering to them. It's a critical role. Let's look at it. Galatians 6, 1-3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I think I might have put it in your handout. And I put it, well, did I put it on there? Let's see. Yeah, I did put it on there too for the online people as well, in case they don't have their Bible. So it says, Galatians 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. There it is. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see what you're doing there? He said you're fulfilling the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. Verse 3, For if a man think himself to be something, that's the puffed up man, right? When he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. And so meekness is so important in our everyday lives, that work at church, at home, in the community, witnessing and inviting people to church, to our church. We got to have that meekness character coming out of us. It's in you because you got the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you get the whole power of the Holy Spirit. You just got to use it. You got to ask God to use it. You got to submit to it. Submission is a hard word, isn't it? Especially for the guys. No, not for the guys, but it is. It's a hard word to use in our lives, especially when it comes to these kind of things. But remember what I said. This goes along the same line. Number one, it's their weakness. Number two, it's our weakness. And number three, it's Satan himself attacking us. Without our willingness to yield to the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, we'll never apply the lubricant necessary to get along with any of these groups of people. Not only that, but the burden lies on us to get along with all people. That's what the Bible talks about, tells us to do. Get along with all people. Does that mean the crack addict out on the street in front of Publix? Yes, it sure does. He needs Jesus too. And I want to be transparent again. I'm guilty of that. I when I go to work, there's a certain rate at an intersection, the same guys there every single morning trying to get money. And I've given them money, and I've given them tracts, the gospel track, and I've witnessed to him the time that I have right there at that light, and he thanks me. But then time wears on, and I was like, man, he's still asking me for money. get a job or something like that. But he still needs Jesus. Why am I thinking that way toward him? He still needs Jesus. Maybe he can't get a job. Maybe his past. I don't know if you know this or not, but the people that have been through jail and been addicted and things like that, I've dealt with them. It's hard for them to get jobs because nowadays they do background checks and all kinds of stuff on you before they'll even hire you. Before, they just looked at your character, where you're at today, and they would hire you most of the time. And so they have a lot against them. And that's probably the consequence. That's part of consequences, right? But they still need Jesus. They still need a love of Christ. Will you be ready to restore your brother or sister in Christ with meekness? That's a question you got to ask yourself. I can't answer it. I got to answer it for myself. Will you be ready to restore your brother or sister in Christ with meekness? Will you be that lubricant to reduce the friction and help a brother or sister in Christ? Okay, so let's look at the alternative of meekness. We often prefer the work of the flesh, discord, because remember I talked about that. It's natural. It's natural for a man. After Adam's sin in the garden, right? It's natural for a man to stir up discord. Discord, what's the discord definition? Definition of discord, any disagreement which produces angry, you see how that one's underlined? Because the first thing we get is angry. I was angry most of my life before I got saved. And I hated myself for that. And I look back now, I'm like, what did I do? But angry passions, contest, disputes, litigation, or war. Are you at war with a brother or sister in Christ? You're at war with somebody out there? Are you angry? That would be discord. Because of the addiction program that we did, the Reform is Unanimous, that we had at our church, there were quite a few new converts that came in. Of course they were, right? They're addicted, then they got saved, and now they're new converts. They're new babes in Christ. We saw discord between them. I'll never forget, man, I was a baby in Christ trying to run a ministry. My pastor pushed me into the ministry and said, grow in Christ. And I thank him for that now. Before, I was like sweating bullets. I'm like, you really want me to do this? I didn't get in front of people and talk, and I had no idea what I was going to do. But they had a curriculum like we're doing now. And so, but I'll never forget the first time, Pastor, they came in and a guy and a lady came in. They were fighting about cigarettes, of all things. They were fighting about cigarettes, and they started screaming at each other when I was trying to teach. And I was like, guys, wait a minute. And they're babes in Christ. And so they went outside, and I was like, somebody go out there and help them. I didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, they came back, and they started getting along after a little while. Why? Because Christ was growing in them. But that's discord. That's discord between brothers, and babes in Christ are, and so the more spiritual, like us, I hope you are. I hope you're growing in Christ. 77 years, Brother Gordon. I hope he's up there in Christ, and he's got some strength in him, right? So we should be the ones to the babes in Christ that, hey, that's not how you act. Look, this is what the Bible says. That's not what I say. This is what the Bible says. And it's not rules and regulations, by the way. It's just being conformed to Christ. And so that's we saw that. He wants to see these new Christians fail. The devil's whole goal is, like I said, to see these Christians fail and fall flat on their face, causing great harm to their spiritual walk. And we've seen that time after time again. People, they would be gone for weeks at a time, and I'd go find them, and they'd be back in the world and doing things that they used to do. And I'm like, what are you doing? Didn't you get saved? Yes, I got saved. I got Christ in me. So I said, well, Christ doesn't want you doing that. Come back. Let's get back into the Word of God. And they would come back and grow. And as they grew, they did less of that walking away stuff. I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to walk away a couple times, you know, but Christ kept building in me. So do you realize that... So I don't want to believe it, but the saying goes like this, and you've heard this saying before, I'm sure. God's army is the only soldiers that shoot their own wounded. And that's often the case, isn't it? We're an army of God. This is God's army. We're the soldiers for Christ, and we're often shooting each other about things that don't even matter in heaven. And so we don't want to do that. We want to be the light of the world. This should be a lighthouse for Sebring, right here in Sebring, you know. And if people find out, well, that them people independent, they're just shooting each other, fighting each other all the time. The pastor, he just, you know, whatever. And why would we go to that church, right? But let's be a lighthouse for the community. And I think we can. I think we already are. There's been talk around town already about an independent Baptist church. So I think God's on the move for great things. We got some buildings out here, right, Pastor? We can grow. Amen. All right. So biblical answer to discord. And I know that's tiny, so you might need your Bible or your glasses. But James 3:13-18 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's a question God's asking. Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. That's not from God, but is earthly, against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from, earthly, seasonal, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion, that's true, and every evil work, that's true. I've seen that already in the world. But the wisdom that is from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's the biblical answer to discord. That's how the answer to discord is that right there. God's word can give us all our answers. Did you know you could have all your questions should be answered from God's word? I'm going to end with this today. It is the job of the wise and knowledgeable teachers to teach others with meekness how to live right by example. We're to live our lives as an example for others. Are you submitting to the Spirit so that you can be the teacher to explain to believers that busybody conduct is not from God? And the devil has a goal to cause confusion and evil work in the body of Christ. It says it right there. God doesn't lie. He tells us the truth. Before we even knew it, he knew that there was going to happen in our day as well. Think about how the church would affect the country. Think about this. How can the church, not just independent, but the church, right? The body of believers. Think about this. The effect it would have on just our country if we were all to submit to this fruit of the Spirit meekness. We could have a revival in this land. We could break out with excitement because people would be seeing something different. They wouldn't be faced with discord. They'd be faced with meekness and love. And because the order of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, it starts with love, so meekness has to go back to love. You got to love before you can have meekness. And so let's finish with that. That question is for you today. How can you make a difference in the community by showing meekness? Let's pray and close today. Father, we come before you. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for teaching me, first of all, Father, to be meek to others. The word meekness has meant so much to me this week as I studied it. Lord, we're not weak. Jesus wasn't weak. He was meek. Did he see some things that he didn't like? Yes, and he corrected it. Father, thank you for showing us by example and allowing the Holy Spirit to live in us that we too can submit to this fruit that you've given us and that we can apply it to others on the outside. Bless this time, Father. Bless our people that are here today in class that have heard. May they grab a hold of it and take it with them. Bless Pastor this next service, Father. Give him the wisdom and power to preach your word without anything stopping him. May there be a hedge around us and Satan be away from us as we hear your word today. May our minds be focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.